Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Dad and The Ugly, the podcast by dads, for dads, and for anyone else interested in the topic of fatherhood. This is blokes talking about stuff. Important stuff. Dad stuff. The good and the ugly sides of it. I'm Seth, a first-time dad, and I'll be joined by my pal, Jamie, a soon-to-be dad, along with a different guest on each episode. And this is essentially our month-by-month account of what we're going through and what's on our minds as we foray into these unfamiliar, joyful, and often choppy waters. Hello again, and welcome to episode 6 of The Good, The Dad and The Ugly. Thank you for downloading. It's me, Seth, and with me, as always, is the irrepressible Jamie.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm a bit itchy. I had my hair cut today,
right,
as you might be able to tell. And you know when you get the hair on the inner part of your...
Didn't they give you those...
Yeah, but it didn't work.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's... But other than that, I'm good. Yeah.
Someone asked me the other day, obviously who doesn't know you particularly well... They were like, when's that guy, Jamie, and his girlfriend going to have that baby? I feel like I've been listening for ages.
3 weeks. About 3 weeks. We're 37 and 2 days. So pretty much any time now, really. We're full term, officially now.
Officially full term.
So it could happen any day, I guess, which is exciting and terrifying in equal measure, I think.
I think you've got it under control. You always look pretty collected.
Yeah, I guess I... do, but at the same time I have those moments of real massive, like, sort of pangs of not anxiety, but just kind of like, is this really happening, and B, are we ready, I guess, are the two main questions. But then you kind of like go, yes it is, and I guess we are. Yeah, I guess so. I hope so. Yeah,
there's a certain like sound of resignation in your voice.
Well, what can I do about it?
Yeah, it's true. It is too late to change it.
Yes, I could run away, but I'm not going to do that.
Yet,
yeah.
We've got other stuff to talk about.
We do.
Obviously, but I think we might put that on hold and introduce our very special guest for today.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
His talents include, but are not limited to, being a dad, obviously, acting, star of reality TV, the king, in fact, of the jungle, and probably most famously for being in a hugely successful pop rock band. Ladies and gentlemen, in the studio with us here right now, it's Matt Willis from Busted.
Hi.
Hey.
That's such a build-up. I was like, do I say anything? Do I sit here and take it? What do I do? Yeah. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm really good, man. I'm really, really good. The sun's been out today. It's been good.
It has been a nice day.
Yeah, it's been a nice day.
A bit too hot, though. I've been a bit sweaty.
Have you?
You're
sweaty and itchy.
That's partly to do with your office, though.
Yeah. It's quite hot in there. But at the same time, I could do with the air being cleared. I feel like I'm putting it down on it being a nice day. We should
celebrate.
Celebrate in London it being a nice day. Yeah.
I was in a studio today that had windows. It's very rare for a recording studio, and it had these big, massive windows that were just glaring in all day. So we just saw loads of people enjoying sunshine. And
that's,
it was nice.
Nice.
It was nice, man. It was nice. It's vibes.
As I said, what's going on with you and Eliza?
Good question. Actually, I feel a bit guilty because I just spoke to Alice. And Eliza basically was booked in to have... So Eliza's my daughter.
Right, okay.
She's 5 months and a bit old.
Oh, right.
She just had her third round of jabs today.
Oh, my God.
And I always feel quite guilty because I don't have to go... I'm usually at work.
Right.
Always at work. So Alice is the one who has to... My girlfriend has to take her in for the jabs. And I always feel quite guilty because
you know, they can get quite kind of unsettled and upset about it.
Yes.
And I spoke to her just before coming in, and she said that she's not herself, so I feel a bit bad.
Shabby.
Right, they sometimes can get a bit ill from the jab, so can't they?
They can get a bit
of a temperature and feel a bit rubbish on them. I mean, I've actually taken mine to a couple of jabs, because I've been off and Emma's been working on those days, and it's hellish.
Really?
It is one of the worst things ever. Like, I remember our newest addition, Trixie, I had to take her for her jabs not too long ago, actually, and it was horrible. It was horrible because they have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to hold them still and they have to stick a massive needle in their tiny little leg. And it's just like, and then just when they've recovered from that one, they do it in the other one.
Oh, mate.
Like, mate, it's so horrible.
So how old's Trixie now?
Trixie is a year. She was a year last week.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Yes.
Thanks so much. Thanks. She's wicked.
Yeah. And what's the age difference between Trixie and Ace?
Ace is 5.
Wow.
That's quite a big difference.
Yeah, it's quite a big difference. Yeah. I mean, Isabel's 8 in a few weeks. So Isabel's 8, Ace is 5, and Trixie's 1.
Was the third one Trixie planned?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. The only one we planned.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think, to be honest, it wasn't really my idea. I think it was more my wife's idea. She was going to be 40, and she just kind of went, you know, if I'm going to do it, I should probably do it now.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to look back and regret not having another one, you know. So, yeah, we just did it, and it was wicked.
How twisted did your arm need to be before?
And not twisted at all.
Really?
Like, no, I mean, well, to be honest, when we first talked about it, I was like, we've only just started sleeping, you know, which is a big thing,
yeah,
dude. You're gonna know all about this soon. But so it was like everything's kind of cool, you know. They go to school and they go to bed and they sleep through the night, and we've got our own room and it's really nice, you know. And so the thought of doing that, and also then you get typical kind of thoughts of I don't think I remember what to do, and like that's a bit weird, you know. Like, so having a baby, like whenever, but it's different when it's someone else's baby and they kind of bring their baby around and you're a bit cautious and scared because it's someone else's baby. I was thinking it would be like that, but then it all just comes flooding back.
Oh, that's, I mean, we've talked about having 3 kids, like,
right,
the people. No, not me and Nat.
Oh,
whoa,
right,
whoa,
oh,
no,
right.
No, no, no.
Oh, right, okay.
As in,
right.
That's what I thought. I saw, on this pod, we have talked about people who have 3 kids, and I think I think there's definitely a school of thought to say people who have 3 kids are crazy, because it's just so much more. Like, that jump from 2 to 3 kids is kind of, did you find that? Have you found that such a?
Yeah, I found it quite extreme. It's a lot different. I mean, in the back of my head, I'm always thinking, am I leaving one out? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm always very cautious of that, because I never want them to be like, when you know, like, you don't want them to feel, you know, resentful for the new baby, you know. So I was kind of constantly thinking, you know, I don't want anyone to feel left out, you know. But so far, I think it's all right.
So, Matt, obviously you and Emma, you know, you, I guess you could say, a celebrity couple, even though you probably don't really like that term, do you? Is that something that you kind of cringe with?
A little bit,
But someone, you
know, I know what you mean.
Busy, like, you know, always on the go. Yeah. Like, was having kids kind of quite a big decision? Was it just something that you just both knew you were going to do and did it? Or was it something that you kind of had to kind of talk about a lot, especially with timings of careers and things like that?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, we just got pregnant. You know, we're just like, oh, right, wow, okay. I don't know. To be honest, it didn't really sink in for the first 6 months, like, really, that we were going to have a baby. I just kind of, I don't know why. I didn't really, it's not like I got told she was pregnant and freaked out. Like, it was like, it took me 6 months to freak out.
Right. You
know? But then 6 months in, I was suddenly like, oh, my God, right, this is fucking going to happen, soon. Whoa. You know, so.
How old were you at the time?
I was 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's reasonably young.
Yeah, like, well, no, I was 26. I got married at 25. So, yeah, 26. Yeah, it's a bit of a shock, you know, but kind of cool. I was kind of cool with it, and I was kind of like, right, great, you know, like, but, you know, I didn't ever think that would happen to me at 26, you know.
Yeah.
And what were you, like, what were you both working on at the time? Like, you weren't still in Busted then, were you?
No, I was doing theatre. I just done a small play when I found out that. And then she was doing I can't remember what she was doing. I think she was doing something on Channel 5, like a panel show with Ian Wright.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, like a lunchtime kind of news kind of thing. Yeah.
And then all change.
And then all change, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, it was crazy.
God, well, it's probably better that way, that you weren't in a band and you weren't touring and being away from home.
I mean, that's the one bad thing about about being in a band is being away from your home all the time, you know. But when I was not having kids, it wasn't that bad. But now it gets progressively, you know, more annoying.
Mm. How do you find that though? Like now with the reforming of Busted, and obviously you had McBusted before this. Did you, you know, going on tour and being with people who don't have the same, you know, situation back home as you do, and they're all going out or whatever. I mean, what's the dynamic there? Is it quite tough for you to kind of like the longer it goes to kind of do? I mean, you must start missing home massively and find that.
Yeah, I mean, I can normally do about 3 weeks and then I kind of want to come home, you know, wherever I go. Like we just finished a tour about a month ago, and that was 3 months so kind of away, you know, which was rough, you know. But I mean, for the first part it was UK, so I'd see them like once every 9 days or something. I'd come home for a day off or something, and then we were just away for like, you know, in Japan and Europe, so it was kind of like I was just gone, you know. But I mean, that it was, I think it gets hard for everybody, I think, because it's you know, it's kind of it sucks for them and it sucks for me, you know. And but FaceTime is a game changer. I know it's the most ridiculous thing, but that is like, I read my kids a story before I go on stage.
Yeah,
I mean, I give them a good bedtime story on FaceTime, and then I go on and do a gig. You know, so it's crazy, but it's just part of the job. But then I'll be at home loads. You know, like, so it goes in waves. You know, like Emma's the same. You know, she'll be busy, but she's like, Emma's fucking good at this shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's very good at being a mum. She has it down. You know, so she's very good at finding work, family balance and scaling that correctly. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's very fucking good at that. I'm not so good at that because I don't really have my job is like, right, you need to go and do this now. Okay, see ya. Yeah, I need to go and do this now. You know, so it's a bit different. But yeah, that's the only bit that sucks about being in a band, really, is touring.
Did you bring them out to see you?
No. In the UK, I did. They came to, like my daughter came to a few shows. My son is 5, gets a bit bored. He lasts a song and then wants to watch get on the phone and watch some YouTube stuff, you know. So
do your kids like your music? Do you try to kind of...
I don't know. I think they pretend to, you know. Like, I don't know if they really love... Especially the last album, I think I don't really think they were that into that. Like, my daughter likes some early Busted stuff, but the new stuff,
who doesn't?
She's not into the new stuff too much. No.
Oh really? Yeah. Talk about the new stuff, like, because that's been out for a little while now.
It kind of came out in November. Yes, it's doing great. We made an album which kind of made us happy. You know, like, it was a very difficult thing because we hadn't been a band for 10 years. You know, we hadn't been in a studio or together for 10 years. You know, so it was, we kind of went into the studio and wrote and recorded an album in, you know, say 6 weeks, really, from start to finish. And that was what came out of that session, you know, and it's kind of very much an album that just made us all creatively happy.
Yeah.
We didn't really think about where the fuck that goes in pop music, like where that sits or what radio station
actually. Yeah, yeah.
We should have really thought about that, but we didn't. We just made an album.
Bills.
Yeah, exactly. We should have just thought about it. We just kind of made an album which we were like, yeah, this is cool, we love this, you know. Like,
but you, I guess you feel like you got to the stage where you could kind of do that.
If I'm honest, it was more about the fact that we were just kind of excited that we were working together again, and we broke up because of massive musical differences, you know. And so the fact that we were actually in a studio and weren't rowing about every little thing, and it was kind of like we were kind of just getting on with it, and it all seemed to be working, and we all had this kind of massive common ground of stuff that we loved, you know, and we just kind of like fed off that rather than our differences, you know. So it was it really worked, you know, and it was fun. We made a really fun little album out of it, you know. But the next album will probably you know, we're going at it differently. We're taking a really long time to do it, you know. We're kind of already starting it now, so it's you know, so we'll see.
That, I mean, that's obviously you do all these other things as well, acting and stuff, but like, music is kind of your real passion, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. Like, I never really thought I'd be a musician, you know. Like, I'm not like a naturally gifted musician or anything. It's not like I'm that way inclined. I always thought I'd be an actor, really. Like, I went to school to kind of wanted to be an actor, and then I kind of wrote some silly songs with my mate, and then we got signed, and then we kind of ended up being in a band, and that worked, and you know, then I carried on doing that, and then now I'm doing it again, you know. So it's kind of, you know, I never really know what the fuck I'm doing.
Having kids and kind of being an artist, and, you know, obviously being a very talented person, do you feel like you're sort of putting extra pressure on your children to kind of follow in those footsteps, or how do you encourage their own interests and stuff?
Yes, I do feel that. I know I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't push them, but I do want them to play music, and I kind of I love it. I absolutely love playing music, and I love music. I love listening to it. Like, I get so excited when I find something new that I love, you know, and I will play it to fucking death. Yeah. You know, and I will play it to everybody I know and shoot messages around, like listen to this band. Listen
oh, you're
to this.
That guy.
I'm that guy. Right. I'm that annoying guy. Yeah. You know, and I really do love it. So like, I want my kids to have that. Yeah. You know, because it really does enthrill me. You know, music. So I kind of want them to have that. But I mean, so far they kind of my daughter, I think could have it. My son has got a great little voice. You know, Trixie's obviously one, so who knows? I don't know. I'd like
they could start the band together, couldn't they?
Exactly, totally. Like Hanson. That's what I'm hoping. That's exactly what I want, Hanson. Yeah.
It's funny. I'm like that. I've kind of already started. You know, we play music to the bump and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like
man. Yeah,
Prince
yeah.
and only good music. I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to have the kids who have the cool taste in music kind of growing up.
Yeah, totally. You know, yeah, yeah, kind of, exactly. Do you know, recently, for the last couple of years, because my kids don't really like it when I read them a story. They like it when I make one up.
Right.
So it's quite a lot of pressure every fucking night to make something up.
Stressful.
I mean, to be fair, I'm quite good at it. but literally, I just start talking and something comes up and I just roll with it. But I mean, they're fucking shit, the stories I tell. They're absolutely terrible. But they seem to really like it, right? And so, but when I read one from a book, they're like, it's just, you know, no, tell us the one about the fucking matchbox or something that I've made up, you know. So,
yeah. Maybe you should get into writing children's books,
that's my next thing. No, I don't think so, especially the stories I tell. But so every now and again I just play a song, you know, which is really cool, man. And like there's a rule, no talking till after the song, and then we can talk about it, you know. And like I fucking love doing that. Man. So like so we've been through loads of Elvis and the Beatles and, you know, Paul Weller and kind of like
sweet.
We've kind of done loads of different stuff, you know. But like it's really hard because you'll play something and suddenly realize that there's a fuck in it.
Right. You know, right,
and it's too late, you know, which is Isabel obviously knows. Isabel's like,
yeah,
you know, I'm like, right, okay, forget, don't tell mummy we played this song.
Do you not have like a swear jar or anything like that in your house?
No, we don't. No, no. To be honest, they're really good with stuff. They never say anything like that. You know, yeah. They're kind of quite good with things.
No, but you do.
But I do. Yeah. Isabel pulls me up on it quite a lot. I'm quite bad for that, to be fair. Yeah.
It's not not too big a deal, I guess.
I don't think it's that much of a... Yeah, they know that they shouldn't say that stuff at school.
I think you can be too kind of, you know, prescriptive about that kind of stuff and like too over the top.
Yeah, yeah, completely, yeah.
Because you can kind of... Like if you're like strict, you're never allowed to swear. Like, you know, if anyone utters a swear word, that's only going to encourage them to be like, oh, it's...
Well, do you know what, right? Mm. So there's this story about when I was about... What age do kids start to like say their first words? Like, I don't know, but like sort of like
depends.
Two, like
probably before that. Probably before that. 16, okay. 18 months.
So I'm about that age, right? And I'm in the back of my mum's car, and my mum's driving, and my dad's in there as well. And my dad's driving, so he winds down the window to ask whether someone was like in a car park. If like, oh, sorry, mate, are you going so I can pump? And as the window comes down, they just heard from the back seat, fuck off, just fuck off.
Like really?
And my parents
amazing.
Look around at me. Mum was like, I don't know where he's got that from. My dad's going, I don't know where he's got that from. And I'm just saying, I don't know what I've said. And then it was about, and they were like, oh, this is crazy. And it was about a couple of weeks later, my mum was driving and my dad was in the passenger seat, and this guy cut my mum up and she wound down the window and went, fuck off.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
And my dad
brilliant.
Was like, that's where he's going from, being in the back seat with you driving.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, so kids pick that shit up.
They do.
So Matt, one of the other things I guess that's different from, you know, normal people like me and Jamie, when you're a celebrity, is, you know, the issue of like your kids being in the public eye. Mm. Is that something that you worry about and that you have to plan for?
Yeah, like we've talked a lot about that. You know, as soon as Isabel was born, we kind of, you know, there was a few shots of like of Emma quite heavily pregnant, you know, and then like there was a photographer waiting outside the fucking hospital when we left, which was really fucking weird. And we were like, oh shit, we need to address this now.
Yeah.
And we never really thought about that really. And so we just made a rule that we would kind of keep them as private as possible, which is increasingly more difficult really, I think, you know. But like For instance, your kids have to go to fucking school, right? Mm. Like, how weird would it be if one of your kids was famous in your class, though?
Yeah.
You know, if I say famous, you know, but like, if people knew who they were, that's a fucking weird thing, you know? So, I mean, it works for some people and it works great, you know, but we kind of, I didn't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
It was kind of for them and for us. It was, you know, it was just like, I don't really know how I would deal with that or
so
like.
Do you not do the school run in that? Like,
yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, we do it every day. School's really cool about stuff like that. Yeah. Like, you know, like, and there was once a photographer outside the school, which was fucking weird. But I mean, Emma's on this shit. You know, like, she is all over it. So she's like, she's got a publicist who is like, we've got a fucking thing out. Like, you can't take pictures of our kids and put them in anything. You know, like.
An injunction.
An injunction. Yeah, against the pictures of our children. You can, yeah. And to be honest,
they shouldn't take pictures of kids anyway.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't.
I think it's actually illegal, isn't it?
I think you're not allowed. But the thing is, they fucking do, and they get away with it as much as you can, you know. But like, now they have to fuzz our kids out if they put them in anything. But I mean, occasionally one slips through, and like, you have to then get someone
sue
on the
their ass.
Phone, you know. But then they take it down. It's normally websites, to be honest, that print that shit. So, like I said, I'm not the one. Emma is all over that, like a rash, you know. So she's on it. You know, it's a weird fucking concept for kids to understand as well, because I don't know how to say this, but fame is not something which has ever really appealed to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that people always fucking say that, you know, but like, it's not been ever a real drive for me or Emma, you know. Like, it's kind of like, we do our job and we love what we fucking do, and I love performing in front of fucking people that know my songs and scream and shout. That's fucking cool as hell. But I don't want to be bothered when I go to fucking Tesco.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't want to be bothered when I'm out with my friend, you know. Like, so just, you know, and I will, and it's cool, and I'll be nice to people whenever I meet them, but it's not like something I crave. But fame to kids is enticing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's intriguing. Like, they like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, my kids find that fucking fascinating. Like, I have to be. I make a point now of it when people, if people ask my photo when I'm out with my kids, I will do it, you know, at certain points. Certain times I'll say no, but only if I'm with one and I don't want, you know, like, I don't know what to do. I don't want them to be in photos, obviously. So it's very, very difficult. But I'll make a point of afterwards talking to them about that and saying, that's not cool, you know, that's not what I want. That's the downside of doing what, you know, like, and, you know, and it's not, really it's not, because it takes 2 seconds and it's cool and it makes someone happy, and I think that's a fucking cool thing, you know. I don't mind doing that, but I don't want my kids to think that that's something to strive for.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
what I mean?
Not the reason to get
so,
into it.
Yeah, so that's not the reason to fucking get
that
into
makes
it
sense,
you know. And they came home they recently, and they were talking. And they were like, they were saying that someone in their class was saying that me and mummy were famous. And I was like, we're not. You know, I didn't know what the fuck to do. Suddenly I was put on the spot and we had to have this conversation now. And I was like, well, we're not really. You know, like, I was like, I'm in a band, and people that know, that like my music, know who I am. And people that watch mummy's television programs know who mummy is. But the Queen is famous. Right. You know? Yeah. I was like, oh, who the fuck do you know? Katy Perry is famous. Yeah, you know, right. I was like, shit, like, first, like, what do I do? You know, so I tried to kind of swerve that one. I don't know if I succeeded, but
to be fair, Katy Perry is pretty famous.
It's pretty famous, So I was like, that's, yeah, so I was put on the spot. I didn't know whether I did a very good job at that, but, you know, we try.
Getting put on the spot is kind of like part of the course, isn't it, with kids?
Yeah, totally. Wait till you have to fucking have Where Babies Come From, chat.
Have you had that?
Yes, multiple times.
And what's your go-to?
Oh my god, dude, it's so weird. Like, well, the thing is that Emma came up with it, because Emma was asked before me, and she had to tell me, so I had to fucking know the story. So when I'm asked, I say the same shit. So she told them that you go to, when you and the, and you know who you're in love with, decide to have a baby, you go to the doctor and he puts one in your tummy. I was like, why did you say that?
Well, especially like, if your dad is a doctor, I mean, that's,
yes,
that's
exactly, that is it. So yeah. I was like, yeah, so that's what we go with.
That's the line.
That's what we
go
with.
That's the Willis line.
Yeah, that's our story at the moment.
Yeah, okay. And you'll have to adapt that, I guess, as they get older.
Well, I'm pretty sure you just fucking
you work it out
from your mates, didn't you? Yeah.
We did the NCT quite recently.
Right.
Did you do
NCT? I did, yes,
yeah,
I did.
How did you find that?
We went for like a 3-day thing.
Yeah,
like
I did the 2-day.
I think it must be two days. It was kind of, I don't know, I found just talking to, you know, kind of like people weird, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, it was a really weird couple of days. I can't remember it that well, but what I do remember of it, it was in like some weird church hall in the middle of nowhere, and it was very strange.
Yeah.
We missed the one that was closest to us, so and they were all booked up, so we had to go like 45 minutes away. I have no idea. It was in the middle of Hertfordshire somewhere.
Right, okay.
And doesn't that kind of like defeat the object a little bit? Because aren't you supposed to kind of do it with like people
exactly,
in your area?
So exactly. We didn't know anybody, and we'd never met anybody. But also where we lived in North London at the time, and there was such a big community of mums and stuff around that we just kind of you know, we didn't really tap into that.
Yeah, fair enough. No, we had. I mean, just from my experience, I turned up. And I was already a bit like skeptical of it, and I was a bit like, "This is more for Nat because it's like for her, you know, her mum's." Yeah. And I turned up, and my nose was put out of joint. But like, as I walked into the room, because I just bought the new trainers, and I thought, "Oh, I'll wear them to this. I'll be the guy with the new trainers," kind of thing. And I walked in, and the guy sitting next to me had the exact same trainers on.
No,
so I was immediately just like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
Yeah, yeah.
So immediately I hated him. It took me until about lunchtime to kind of have that chat with him of like, "Nice trainers." And then we kind of learned, like, "Yeah, nice trainers. Yeah."
All right, so he didn't act like he hadn't noticed.
No, he knew. Right, he had noticed. He knew. But the other thing was, we were kind of all a bit like, everyone was having jokes and everyone was trying to be like, kind of make friends and all that kind of thing. And everyone's in high spirits. And then the last hour, the teacher, but she passed around sort of like A2 photos of, I mean, stages of birth. And they were like, the most graphic shit ever seen in my life. Like, not even joking. That there was one. I'll never unsee that. Like,
Totally.
You know, and it was really weird. The atmosphere in there just died like
of
that,
course.
And everyone just looked like Vietnam War veterans. Of just like, I've seen some shit that I just can't. Everyone just kind of.
What was it of?
It was like head.
Oh, right.
Fully, pretty breached, no. Like, and like, but like super close up as well of like
extreme close up
of like the back side of a woman, basically. Whilst I kind of found that a tad unnecessary. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, did you not have that in yours?
I don't remember that.
You just blanked it out, though.
Yeah, I don't remember that. No, that's pretty extreme.
Right, I thought so.
That would really scare every woman in there as well.
That's and every guy.
Yeah, that's pretty horrendous.
Yeah. You're right, actually. I mean, I was going to say that you better get used to it, because that's kind of what it's like, but it's actually, you don't really need to stress yourself out overly by seeing stuff like that before you go in for the birth.
Mm. My wife used to watch that programme, One Board Every Minute, all the time.
And I before? Oh,
you
wow.
Know, I used to go, "Why are you watching this?" Yeah. She's going to like, "This is, this, like, some of these women have a horrible time. Why are you putting yourself through it?" And she just liked to know, you know, like to see it. She still loves it now.
I was going
to
say,
God. She gets all emotional watching it. It's Christ.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm going to go business end. I think I've been thinking about this quite a lot. I mean, Seth, did you go business end during the birth?
I didn't, but not because I wasn't planning to. It's just that I think I probably talked about it on one of the other podcasts, but I was in a situation where it happened quite quickly and Alice had to kind of basically lie down on the floor, and there wasn't really proper support for her. So I ended up basically wedging myself behind her as some sort of like human pillow.
Right.
And so, you know, to make her comfortable. So I couldn't actually, I was craning over and I could see sort of over her shoulder what was going on. And that was enough for me, to be honest.
Yeah. Did you go business end?
I did not go business end.
No.
No, I was not allowed to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was very firm.
Really?
You do not go down there. I was kind of happy about that. Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been quite amazing to have seen that, you know. But I saw kind of like the very end of what happened, you know. But I didn't actually see the first bit.
Yeah.
Really.
I heard a comedian say it once. He said, I went down the business end, and it was like watching my favourite pub burn down.
That's great.
And that's kind of stuck in my head a bit.
Yeah.
So you've just come back from New Zealand, Seth.
I have.
How was the flight?
That was actually okay. So the flight to New Zealand, to Wellington, which is where my partner's family live, is about, if you're lucky, you can get there in like 28 hours, and we were lucky. So that was the shortest flight time.
And with the five-month-year-old?
Yeah, well, we were away for a while, so she was about 4 months when we left.
Right.
And then, 5 months when we came back.
You've come back with a different age baby.
Exactly, But that was actually fine. And we kind of knew that beforehand. Like, people, obviously, you don't know until you try it.
Yeah.
But people had said to us that if you're going to do a trip like that, you're better off
that's
going
a good age to go. Yeah, totally.
Because those big planes especially are like a giant like white noise machine.
Yeah.
There's just constant hum. So, you know, she would obviously get up wanting to feed and stuff, which, you know, happened quite frequently. But then you'd put her down and she'd kind of just nod off. And we certainly didn't really have any serious kind of screaming fits, which is what we were worried about. We were worried that we would kind of be those people on an aeroplane when because I've been in that situation like plenty of times, and you like look at the and you feel bad because you can see that they're trying, but you're
what
just
can
like
they do?
No, exactly, that's the thing. You realise they can't really do anything about it, but you're like, it's still really fucking annoying.
Yeah, true,
and I was like,
yeah,
I don't want that to happen to us. And it didn't. And it didn't on the way back either. It was quite straightforward. We flew back from Melbourne and that was fine. But we did have one flight from Auckland back to Wellington. We did a little road trip and then we flew back to Wellington. And it was just a 1-hour flight, but it was on this like sort of tinny little plane. And that was a fucking nightmare. Like about halfway, like I said, an hour flight, about halfway in, she just like started to crack it and there was just nothing we could do. And everyone did start turning around and like giving us the evils.
What did you do? Did you start giving it back?
You know what? It's funny because that was my fear, that it would be like terribly embarrassing and I'd like, you know, I want to basically die. But it wasn't, I didn't feel like that. I felt like we're trying our best here. And if you can't deal with that, then like fuck you essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Have you done many like, have you taken your kids on many long haul flights?
Yeah, like but not like nothing too long haul.
Yeah.
No. Like that is a good age to go. Like for instance, Trixie's one now. We went to Spain recently and she was about 11 months. It was not that long ago, and that was challenging. You know, like a few times because she's bored and she wants to do stuff, you know, and like she has to sit on my lap and, you know, like it's boring for her, you know, so there was a lot of walking around,
yeah.
You know, and plus she started walking and she wanted to walk, you know, so she was like kind of stumbling down the, you know, down the aisle, which is, you know, which is always fun. She didn't scream and cry, which is awesome, you know, okay. So that was what I was kind of worried about. She's not really that kind of baby, but you never know, like, because I always remember like one time I went on a flight and my ears didn't pop. And it really hurt me, you know. I was like, if you were a baby and that was happening to you, and you're like on this thing, you're like, is this going to be forever?
Yeah,
you know.
It,
so
yeah.
I was a bit worried about that, but she was cool.
Yeah,
you know, so it was fine. But 28 hours.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a weird. I mean, you, I assume you've been over to like the Antipodes before.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You do get into like a kind of a zone where you just you know, the hours just sort of like tumble by.
Yeah.
And then
you
come out the other end, you're like, I can't actually believe that we left like over a day ago.
Yeah.
It's
weird. It is really weird. But when you have a baby in tow, it's like especially like hard because normally you can kind of switch off and like watch loads of films and hopefully get some sleep.
Mm.
But you can't really if you've got a baby because you're constantly having to kind of make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
My question to you is, do Alice's breasts work at 40,000 feet? Which is something basically Seth was a bit. Didn't know whether
that's a really
still,
good question. Yeah.
So did they?
They did.
Yes.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Okay. Even more highly pressurized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You kind of want to feed them as you're gaining altitude because that's when there's the pressure
right
change, and the sucking helps their, you know, helps.
Oh,
their
helps
ears.
Their ears, of course. Right. Great.
Yeah. So you kind of have to time it right. What you're on the tarmac, boob in hand.
Right.
And ready until, you know, waiting for the plane to start moving. And then, you know, when it gets to a certain speed, you're like, right, let's go. And then you just stick it in there.
Right. Wow. You don't have to wait for the seatbelt sign to go off, really.
No, you don't. No, because you have them on your lap at that point.
Right.
On those extra extensions things.
Right.
So, yeah, you can do all the breastfeeding you like at that in that kind of situation. So that's the end of part one. We'll be right back with part two.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans.
To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But I was going to ask about your new album, because I was listening to it today, actually. And I think, I mean, A, it's really varied. And I think there's kind of like some, you know, it's got, there was one track, which I think was the second track on the album, which was like really like Chromeo, that kind of 80s synth vibe.
Yeah, totally. That was a big kind
Of thing, so it's quite a big, you know, obviously you're 10 years old or whatever, from like year 3000, which was, by the way, my jam. You're busted, buddy. My first job was at Top of the Pop Saturday.
Right.
And that was, I think you came on it a couple of times.
Right,
and
probably we were on it every fucking weekend.
Yeah, playing that song. Just would go crazy. To what, being a dad, how has that influenced your new stuff, or has it, do you find that that kind of like that perspective's kind of influenced your music at all?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, this record, like, the thing is that I think why this record is so different is that normally a band would evolve over fucking 10 years. You would hope so. You know, like, and you evolve as people anyway. You're not into the same shit that you were into 10 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you still like that stuff. Like, I still like the bands I was influenced when we wrote What I Got a School For and stuff, but I'm not, that's not my main love, I don't suppose, now. You know, you just evolve over time. We just evolved apart. So when we came back together, we just kind of had all these new influences and all this new kind of direction, so that's kind of what happened. But I don't know if it was really influenced by my kids.
Yeah
because I was listening to your podcast that you did with Scroobius Pitt,
right? Yeah.
And I you were talking a bit about that, about how you had this kind of, when when Busted first became big, you were kind of like straddling this thing where kind of you felt like quite kind of like rock and roll, but you were being kind of marketed as this kind of kid band, essentially.
Yeah.
So that must have been quite a kind of awkward thing that you were.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's funny because in the one hand, you're like, you're super grateful to be doing something you love, right? And you're kind of like, yes, I'm in this amazing position and I should be really grateful for it. Like, we're selling records and people seem to like us, and, you know, but then you kind of go, this isn't really what I intended for my band. Do you know what I mean? When I look at how we're perceived and how we're marketed and what the public maybe think of us, this isn't really what we fucking plan to do. But it's working, so shut up. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, that came up again and again through my kind of career, really. Yeah.
But you were like sort of behind the scenes, you were kind of living a quite a rock and roll lifestyle, were you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, especially during the kind of later Busted years and beyond, really. Yeah, it was kind of quite raucous and quite crazy, but wicked, you know. Plus you fucking got away with it because you're in a pop band, so no one thought you were kind of doing anything, you know. But I have to say, man, like those smash hits tours, like even like after Busted, right? Like, I mean, like I did a solo record, which was, I suppose, a little bit cooler than what Busted was or whatever, you know, like, but they were nothing. Like, those fucking early smash hits tours were the most insane things. Like, they're like, everyone was just fucking off it the whole time. It was crazy. It was amazing.
God. But you've said, speaking of it, you've said that fatherhood is kind of what inspired you to kind of kick all that, kick the alcohol, kick the drugs, that kind of thing. And is that, I mean, tell us about that, because that, I think that's something that probably quite a lot of people find and go through.
Yeah, I think there was, I mean, for me personally, I tried to get sober so many fucking times, you know, and I've been given, and I had so many reasons to stay sober, you know, but nothing really worked. You know, I went to multiple rehab centers. I fucking couldn't face another one, you know. I went through that so many times, but nothing got me sober, you know. I was always kind of pretending, I was always kind of doing what people said I should do and kind of faking it, you know, and kind of going, yeah, I should go and sort myself out, but then in 2 months I can fucking go back to myself and everyone will think I'm great, you know, or whatever. But then we had Isabel and everything fucking changed, you know, like, and it's one of those
things, just changed like overnight?
No. Well, I suppose so. I mean, I knew, you know, like, I still fucked up, like, after Isabel was born, you know, like, it took me 6 months to get sober. In that time, I tried fucking hard, you know, like, in the first 6 months, but I kept fucking up. And then I missed her crawling. I was out getting smashed, and, you know, I kind of missed that fucking thing. You know, and the thought of not having her, you know, and kind of being that disappointment, which I constantly was to other people, you know, but being that fucking disappointment to her was just too much for me to deal with, you know. So yeah, that kind of that was the one thing. And then I just went, you know, I went to meetings, and I kind of went one day at a time, and I did everything they fucking told me to do with for the first time ever. I read that book. I did, and to be honest, I mean, I'm not a fucking AA guy. I'm not really a kind of one of those dudes. I don't go to meet, you know, it's not really part of my life now, but I did anything, you know, to kind of stay sober at that point. Yeah. And it all probably worked, you know, because I did, you know, so it's, yeah, but I think there's something about, you know, like, you know, the thought of her or any child seeing their parent in a disappointing light is not fucking cool, man. You know, like, you know, you want to be, you know, that's the last thing you want.
Yeah, you want to be a hero to them.
Completely. You never want to be the opposite to that, and the complete fucking opposite to that. So, yeah, that was the kick up the arse I needed.
And that's 8 years now. If it's
yeah, been, eight years, yeah.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks, mate.
That's great. No, really good. If one of your kids came to you, like, in the future and was kind of wanted, you know, not came to you, but you know, they were partying, that kind of thing. Like, what's your kind of, like, what would your approach be to that kind of, like, the drink and drugs and that sort of thing that, you know, most teenagers, especially in London, are kind of, like, not subjected to, but in that world?
I think everywhere they're subjected to it. I think it's, you know, wherever you go, there's that. You know, the thing is, I've thought about this a lot. And I'm like, first of all, alcohol was not in my house. You know, like, we're not a kind of boozy family, you know. So, like, I remember when I grew up, it was quite prominent in my life, and, you know, it was kind of a big thing. I don't know whether or not that fucking made a difference. I don't know. You know, I've tried to think about this so many times, about how I'm going to treat this and how I'm going to deal with this. And I think the one thing I can do is kind of tell them, you know, how this affects me.
Yeah.
You know, how this can go so fucking wrong. And, you know, and I think that's all I can do, you know, really, you know, because, and also, you know, without being a fucking weirdo, I don't know if I want them to not experience certain things in their life.
Yeah.
You know, this is a fucked up thing to say.
No, I totally get that.
But I don't know if I want them to never experience certain fucking awesome experiences. You know, yes, I was a fucking wreckhead and I took it too far, but that's not to say that they're going to be a wreckhead. Sure. I want them to drink. I want them to have a good time with their friends. I want them to fucking maybe go to raves, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? I want them to experience those things which were massively positive moments in my life. Obviously, I took it too far and made it a negative, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know how I will respond to that. If I see things that are trouble, I think I will be able to respond to that trouble and I'll be able to see it coming. But, I don't want to be some preachy dickhead.
Yeah, yeah. No, you want to be... Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
You've kind of... I mean, just from your sort of Twitter, Instagram and all that, kind of fitness seems to be your new kind of drug. Fitness and healthy eating and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a fucking nerd.
You've kind
nerd
of got
like
into that quite
yeah,
hard,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I go through waves, dude. Like,
what does it involve?
What, my...
The healthy eating and stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm a bit of a fucking nutrition nerd. Like, well, the thing is, it goes through waves. Like, I was kind of... I just, you know, I kind of, I'll be really fucking strict and really good for a fucking ages. And then I'll say, right, well, I'm going to eat like shit because I want to put on some muscle or some bullshit term that I tell myself, which is really, I just want to fucking eat shit and just laze about. But I love training. I train every day. Like, I would train twice a day if I could, but, my wife doesn't like that. but now I'm lucky enough to have a garage, and I kind of put like a little mini gym set up in my garage, and I train in there every day now, and I fucking love it. I love training so much.
I'm impressed. I wish I had that dedication.
You're playing Glastonbury this
year,
right?
Yes, mate. Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Have you done that before?
No, never played. I've been there a couple of times. We played lots of other festivals, but this is the first time at Glastonbury.
Amazing. That's like the pinnacle, basically.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, it's on the fucking bucket list for sure. You know, we're super stoked. I've actually just sorted out my accommodation today because I suddenly, like,
big tent.
Yeah, like we were like, well, the fuck, we got a weekend pass. We need to make this. So Emma's got the time off, so we're going to go. And
you going with the kids?
No, we're not bringing them. I think Emma wants
that's
to
a shame.
I think Emma wants a bit of a night out that night. Right, you know? But unfortunately, we have another gig in Newport the day that we play. So we're going to go on the Friday, and then we're going to play on the Saturday, and then we get the tour bus to Newport and play a show there, and then drive back through the night and wake up again in Glastonbury.
Okay, that's cool.
But we got a tent in Glastonbury that Emma's and some friends are going to stay in. So
did you not? You didn't at all consider taking the kids?
No, right. I mean, the thing is, if you're going to take them to Glastonbury.
Yeah, sure.
But I want to watch loads of bands.
Yeah,
you know, like it's very rare that we get something like that we can enjoy together. You know, so me and Emma are grabbing it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, right, okay, brilliant.
Yeah. They'll have their opportunity to go to Glastonbury.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure they will, and maybe we'll go again with them. You know, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I think that's a festival to take your kids to.
Yeah,
totally.
You know,
yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. I've always thought.
Jamie, how are you feeling about your festival? Are you still?
Yeah, we're taking our baby to Wilderness Festival in August. So if it comes on time, it'll be 8 weeks old. And we take
8 weeks on. It's just going to a festival. Yeah, yeah. That's fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, well, or stupid.
Yeah, like, crazy.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We kind of haven't.
I don't know much about Wilderness.
It's kind of it's very Guardian Readers middle class.
Right.
Kind
okay.
of, you know, Angela Hartnett has a restaurant there, and you know,
right, okay,
and
right,
duck
okay.
and waffle are there. So it's very very middle. No, it's you know what we went last year, and it was wicked. It's like in the Cotswolds.
Right.
Big,
nice.
I mean, they've got some big bands, but like Bonobo's headlining.
Right.
Like Grace Jones and
Grace Jones is playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shit, so that should be good. And like Toots and the Maytals, who I'm sort of desperate to see. But yeah, that's we had friends. We went last year and we had friends there with a 10-week-old, and they said, do you know what? It was wicked.
Right.
As long as the weather's good and you can take
that's
a pram
the thing, isn't it?
And it's dry, you're fine because they're just.
So
you know, they're going to sleep, I mean, Glastonbury's a different.
Yeah.
I just think if it's dry and not raining, they're going to be in a pram or on a carry thing on you. Look, if
are you
it
going
comes.
For a weekend?
Yeah.
Right.
And we're in the family thing. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. But
No, I've just never thought about doing that.
I've started to think that maybe we are a bit crazy. I mean, we've got to a stage now where it's, you know, it's getting closer, and I keep thinking, is this the right thing to do? Because. Who knows?
Why
man?
Not, man? Why not?
Well, yeah.
You know,
I mean,
as long as she can feed okay and everything's, you know,
that's
you
it.
Can keep her dry,
that's
keep
it.
Her, the baby dry, yeah. sorry, you know, like, then it's good.
That's what I think. Know? And, you know, it's kind of.
Do you know what it is? Do you know
no,
what it
no,
is?
No, we don't know. Which is making coming up with names quite difficult, but we've kind of got two names for each now. We've narrowed it down, so that's kind of cool.
So you'll wait and see it and go, well, that's.
Yeah, well, we got one great. Quite wacky name for the boy,
right?
Which we really like, but we just think the grandparents will go, sorry, what?
That will happen.
Don't worry about it. Don't
but fuck that,
man.
Yeah, do what you fucking
want.
Yeah, maybe.
You see, the way when I told my dad I'd call my son Ace,
right.
It was like, you fucking what? But, you know, that's like, at the time I thought, yeah, that's pretty fucking out there.
Yeah.
That's nowhere near out there. Like,
no.
A friend of mine, he's a DJ, and he was staying with me recently. And, you know, like his ex-wife has now got another kid called Snow White.
One word.
That's her name, Snow White.
Wow.
Wow, that's fucking...
That's
bold.
So, Seth, you were talking about before that Eliza's kind of started, well, not talking, but becoming pretty vocal.
Yes. Yeah, she is. She went through a phase of doing it was really cool actually. I liked it, and I kind of miss it now. She was doing raspberries all the time, just like constantly blowing raspberries.
Right.
And then weirdly she just stopped, and I thought that was weird, but apparently it's like a normal thing. They realise they can do something else and they just stop what they were doing before. So now she doesn't do any raspberries, and instead she does this really annoying ambulance noise, like meow, meow, meow. She just keeps doing it, and it was cute at first, and then now it's quite like sort of draining.
Yeah. Well, we were around at Will, who we had on episode 2's house for Freya's first birthday, actually, the other day, and he said, "Watch this," and he had her in his arms, and he put his beer bottle up to his mouth, took a swig, went, put it down, and she just went. Like that, right?
Really?
Yeah.
So funny.
He's like, yes, she's learning. Like, wicked.
And then the other thing, she's learned how to hold her head up, upright.
All right.
So we've been able to transition from using one of those kind of slings where they sit like towards you and kind of snug into your chest, to one of those outfacing ones, so she can kind of see what's going on as we walk around, which is great, that, because it keeps them entertained for ages. You can just go out for a walk and they're just like gurgling away and making that annoying ambulance sound. So that's fun.
I've got this to all look forward to.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, from the outside, like, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
In fact, because we were away for a month and my parents picked us up from the airport, and I was expecting them to say, "Wow, she's like so different." And they didn't say that at all. And I was
then
like,
"Why is she making that fucking ambulance?"
Yeah, apart from the ambulance noise. But yeah, no, they didn't say that at all. And I had to be like, "Do you think she's different?" And they were like, "Not really." And I was like, "Oh, right, okay." But to us, she just seems loads different.
Yeah.
We're not like concerned, but like she's in the second percentile of like small babies, and she's sort of been on that trajectory for a while. We got her weighed again yesterday, and she's still kind of there. And she's just not really, like, she's fine. She's healthy and stuff. And we haven't had to, like, go to back to the hospital once since she was born. But she's just really small. So, yeah, I don't know what you can do about that.
I don't think there's anything you can do. I think you just got to just keep feeding her, I guess.
And
just
that's what we do.
Maybe she's going to be a small person.
Yeah, she might be. But then she might also have, like, a growth spurt at some point.
There we go.
That's what I'm hoping.
That's what I had.
Dude, were you tiny? I imagine you were.
Can you imagine me ever being tiny?
JB's, like, 6 foot.
Four, five. Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon you were kind of like some tiny little acorn and then you grew into a mighty oak.
Yeah, we've, on our side of things, we've had the massive decision to swap sides of bed.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because we're getting one of those Chico things that, like, next to me, and it won't fit on one side of the bed, which is Nat's side. So we've had to put it on my side.
To the other side
so
of Nat's bed. That is a head fuck.
My Feng Shui is all over the place. Honestly, I haven't slept well since, and it's been about a week now. Like, neither of us slept well. It's horrible. I hate it on that side.
It's so weird. Like, whenever Emma's away, I have to sleep on that side.
Yeah, right.
It's closest to the cot, so, like, I sleep on that side, I'm like, I fucking hate this side.
Yeah. It's weird, though. It's, like, what? A foot difference?
It's so weird. It's so weird that it makes such a difference. But it does.
It does.
Yeah. I sleep on the same side when I'm in a fucking hotel.
Right.
That's what I was going to ask, actually, because I find it weird in our own bed sleeping on the wrong side.
Yeah.
But in another bed, it kind of like, I just almost forget about it.
Well, do you know what it is? And we worked it out. We actually went back and was like, when we were in that hotel like 3 years ago, which side did you sleep at? And we could like, I always sleep on the side where the door is.
Right.
Like, so I don't know whether that's a protective thing. You reckon?
I think it is a protective thing.
I always sleep on the other side, away from the door.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Just by chance.
Yeah, but Alice is a Kiwi, so she'd knock them the fuck out. Anyone that came in. So
that's true.
You'd be fine.
Rugby tackle.
Exactly. Yeah, the other thing is, I said this to someone. They said, how are you feeling about like the baby? I said, yeah, I'm just starting to really worry that, and this is, I'm not even joking about this, I'm worried that my baby's going to be a bit of a dickhead. Like, just,
what?
Well, you never know that kid's going to, I just want a cool kid.
You're just,
do you know what, you want a cool kid.
You're like, what if it's a dickhead?
What if it turns out to be that kid that's just a fucking dickhead? Fucking dick.
But also,
a problem child.
You won't think that, though. That's the thing.
Do you think that parents know that their kids are dickheads?
I think I will.
Because everyone's like, oh, my kid, you know, he's love. I'm like, no, your kid's a fucking dick.
It's,
you know,
true. Like,
but do you think we will actually secretly know?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think bad dads.
I'm trying to think objectively. I'm like, no, my kids are fucking awesome. Like, I can't think
well,
of
that's
any.
Not objectively. Yeah, I'm not sure they are, but that is not objectively. Yeah, I'm sure my kid's going to be cool because I'm a fucking legend. But
I'm biting my tongue here.
But you never know. It could just be that kid. A, that kid that's just always ill and just, you know, that kid, or just a bit of a, just one I don't really like all that much and just a bit, just wouldn't be mates with. I don't know. That's just something that's, I don't know whether many dads get that anxiety before. Did you kind of?
I haven't thought about that.
No, but did you before think, what if my kid's not cool and just a bit annoying?
No, I mean, I was probably more concerned about them coming out healthy.
Right.
Rather than worrying about like that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
it's suicide. Yeah, it's a fucking, that's a weird worry.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's just something that's gone through my mind.
Right, that's almost it for now. But before we go, Jamie, do you know what time it is?
I think it's dad tech time. Papa's got a brand new bag. So I'm going to shock you with this instalment of Dad Tech. I actually own this piece of dad tech. It's not necessarily exclusive to dads. In fact, it's not exclusive to dads. It's just a bit of tech which I've got my hands on. And it's basically baby monitors. And we got round to buying a baby monitor. Right. And I did a bit of research into it. And there's loads you can get. And there's ones that kind of you can get, like, you know, put onto your phone, and they're pretty cool. Like, you can take that. But then you always need really strong Wi-Fi to see it anyway. And then what are you going to do anyway if you're kind of like...
Yeah, what are you going to do without your
phone? Miles away. Yeah,
well,
exactly.
It's like, I need my phone to like check Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's that wasn't really necessary for us. Although you got other ones which are kind of cool. But the one we went with was the Motorola MBP36S.
Catchy.
Yeah, rolls off the tongue. And it's quite cool because it kind of you can control it from the unit that you get, which is the screen and the controls, and you can swivel it and turn it. Now, I don't know. Do most of the models nowadays have that? I guess they.
I don't know. We don't actually.
Oh right, I don't know. I'm asking you.
Yeah,
Matt. Do they most of the model? Do you have
I don't know what you mean. What do you mean?
Like a baby monitor sort of thing.
Yeah. But what do you mean?
Like you swivel it. Like you can control it up, down, left, right.
What, like from the other part.
From my handset. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
That's fucking cool.
Wicked. Right. Okay. Well, we've got one of them, right. And it has night vision. And it also tells you how hot it is in the room, the temperature.
Right.
And you can talk to it, like you can press microphone, and then
and
it comes out.
So
you can
kind
of go, oh, be quiet, it's fine, dope. It's fine, go back to sleep.
Well, shut up.
Yeah, just keep it down in there. But, you know, the one thing we had to, I had to convince Nat to get this, basically, because her main worry about it, and I swear to you this is not a joke, her main worry was the chance that she could look at the monitor and see the ghost of an old woman looking over the cot. I'm not even joking. Like, that was her main concern.
That's her main concern.
She even asked about it in the NCT class. She went, what are the chances? Like, in the main, and the woman just didn't know what to say. She was like, we wrote it down on a piece of paper, and the woman went, I saw one thing. Someone wrote ghosts. And I went, yeah, I was just wondering how likely it is that you're going to see a ghost on the baby monitor. And she just didn't know what to say.
Don't know what to say.
No, I don't think anyone knows what to say. But then I started thinking about it last night in bed, and I freaked myself out, thinking about, like, you know, you're looking at the baby monitor, kind of going, oh, everything's fine in that cot, and then suddenly you see, like, like this old woman, like, hovering over the cot of your child. I mean, it's never going to happen, but this is something...
But if it did,
what would you do?
Dude, like, once I was fast asleep, and I woke up, and Isabel was next to my face, right? Like, I freaked the fuck out. Like, she was about 3, and I was fast asleep, opened my eyes, because I don't know why I opened my eyes. She was just standing right fucking close to my face, not saying anything. It's the scariest thing ever.
Yeah, there's nothing more terrifying than that kind of, like, closeness of just another...
Well,
anyway, ghost or no ghost, we decided to get this, and it's got night vision, which is freaking that out.
That's
even
pretty
more
cool.
And
has actually, it got one of those alarms that go underneath the mattress?
No,
for the breath
doesn't.
Alarm.
Oh, why? What's that?
Well, we have... mate, this is a fucking nightmare, right? We have this alarm, right, that goes under her mattress. And we had it for Ace as well, and Isabel. And if they stop breathing for 3 seconds, if there's no movement for 3 seconds, an alarm goes off. So wherever you are, if you're like... But it's on during the night as well. So if they get, you know, the alarm goes off during the night. And the thing is that babies fucking move around, right? Yeah. So if they roll off the monitor, which they do, you know, suddenly the alarm goes off and scares the living shit out of you. You think your baby stopped breathing in the middle of the night. And sometimes that can happen 4 or 5 times a night. It's hell. And
also,
I would Emma, did you not chuck it out after that?
Emma is fucking, like, still using it now. Like, she's a year old. You're supposed to use it for, like, the first, like, 3 months tops. We have it for a year. God. And then as soon as she was a year old, I was like, right, we can get rid of that. We can stop sterilizing. Emma's still sterilizing, still fucking using the alarm on her. So about 3 times a night, it's just that she's fucking gone up to the end of the bed and the alarm on her goes off.
No, we're not.
But now I don't panic. I don't think she stopped breathing. No, I just get pissed off.
Yeah. No, we haven't got one of those, thankfully. That sounds
it's horrible. I'm sure for what it's for, it's great, but it doesn't always work that way.
No. Well, this hasn't got that. This has just got the talkback thing. I think that's as advanced as
it. I like the fact that you can control it from your
That thing is cool.
If your missus goes up to check on the baby, you can just go, babe, would you bring down
or start going,
I can see you
and just start freaking her out. I think that's the
I'm
best
a little woman ghost.
So we got that. So basically, dad tech, Motorola MBP 36S, £115 we got it for.
Oh, bargain.
I think it's quite
ask
good
you about how
£115 from Amazon, but it's I think it's an older model for me. it seemed to be the best one on the market for us. So top tip there.
Okay, that's it for this episode. I just want to say a big thank you to Matt Willis. Thank you for joining us.
Cool, man.
And for the next episode that comes out,
yes,
episode 7, Jamie will actually be a dad by then. Finally, it will have happened.
I will, and I feel like justified being on this podcast at last.
Yeah, at the moment, it's not clear why you're here, so...
All right. Thanks, man.
And of course, thank you to you guys, the listeners, for continuing to share and download and rate and review our podcast. It's really important that you keep doing that for us and obviously... for other people who might be interested in listening to our inane ramblings.
And come say hi on Instagram and Twitter. We're at Good Dad Ugly. Ugly, 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 ugly.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.